Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the taco failure.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, you have no idea what I went through to try and get some tacos right before we started this show.
Sounds like it was a real ordeal.
I was out there pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
Going from taco truck location to taco truck location.
So you have – there are usual taco truck locations, places you will – you know there to be a taco truck regularly.
There are, I would say, innumerable
usual
taco truck locations. This is a neighborhood that is, in a typical situation, lousy with taco trucks.
Sure.
It is like there are as many taco trucks in this neighborhood under ordinary circumstances as there are.
I had a nice experience at that pink one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, as there are fleas on a wayward dog.
Sure,
that's the normal taco truck situation here in this neighborhood, and there wasn't even the shitty taco trucks were there because the lunch taco trucks have packed up and the dinner taco trucks have not started out.
Mm.
It was like 5:35 when I was doing this.
Yeah.
And it was my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
All I wanted was some tacos.
Sounds like hell on earth.
I was prepared, Jordan, I was prepared to eat tacos from the worst taco truck in the neighborhood.
Now, I know you don't want to, and I know we don't usually like trash talk on this show, but
that's the
do
one
you want to?
That's the one on Parkview, Jordan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was going to eat tacos
the
at the taco
are
truck
out.
On Parkview.
Ram.
I didn't care. I was that hungry.
Shoot. Geez.
I was ready to eat their C-minus carne asada tacos.
Oh, boy.
I had abandoned even the prospect of eating the good al pastor tacos from up the street. I was ready to eat anything.
Now, something I learned recently about taco trucks, I think I was listening to the Doughboys podcast, is that taco trucks usually have a specialty.
Yeah.
And then everything else they do, they kind of half-assed.
Yeah.
And if you are a white, you might not necessarily know what that specialty is. So is it just that you think you been getting the wrong thing at the C-minus taco truck?
No, I've tried several things.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is a real shitball taco
truck. Gotcha. I mean, that's a possibility too.
But the point is that it wasn't even there.
Mm.
And so I'm running on fumes here. All I had to eat, Jordan.
Yeah.
And this is a serious issue for me, Jordan.
No, I can tell. I can see it in your eyes.
All I had to eat was half a bag of something called Boy Bawang Cornic, which is like a Filipino corn nut.
Yeah, I guess because of our – I guess there's two things kind of working toward that.
Right.
I guess our occasional segment where we eat something someone mails us.
Yeah.
Or I guess something that Emmy Blotnick will buy from the Korean grocer and bring in.
Sure.
Corn Brights, I think, was the last thing.
Yeah.
And I guess you've got the web show where Brian and Lindsay totally eat stuff.
And this was left over from Brian and Lindsay will totally eat that, which, let's be clear, we shot 4 months ago.
Sure. But so I guess it leads to probably the predominant thing in the cupboards around here being
soft
something
pink Oreos.
Something weird people want to have eaten as a challenge.
Yeah,
or an experiment.
I thought back to Brian and Lindsay will totally eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is online at totesy.com, and tried to remember which one of the things they thought was the least gross.
Yeah.
I settled on Boy Bawang Cornic, adobo flavor.
Sure.
And
what's this again?
It's like a Filipino corn nut.
Okay.
That's adobo flavored.
Yeah.
And it
doesn't sound too bad.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It doesn't have like a hint of seafood, which is what I worry about when I'm considering a foreign snack.
Well,
will this have some sort of artificial seafood powder on it?
I definitely declined eating the clam-flavored Pringles.
Sure. That's
which we did have on hand as well.
Call.
Yeah, those just have a vague they honestly, you know what they taste like?
Hmm.
Cannibalism.
Oh,
like how
sure.
I imagine cannibalism.
Yeah, like
would
a human
taste.
Spleen would taste.
Yeah, like a just wrong. They just taste a little bit
like
wrong.
Like they're against God.
Exactly.
Sure.
In defiance of his wishes, capital H.
Yeah.
So anyway, I can't be held responsible for anything that happens on this program because I could not obtain tacos.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get a quesadilla.
Oh boy.
I was ready to eat one of those bacon wrapped hot dogs. I couldn't find one of those that was in action.
Hmm. Have you thought about having more typical snacks around the office for such an occasion?
What even is a typical snack anymore, Jordan?
It's a great point.
Millennials.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
What are those guys snacking on?
and potatoes.
Probably dick pics that they're getting over Snapchat.
Yeah.
And they're trading them for Bitcoin to buy Minecraft.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Edible heroin.
Probably. Yeah, they are probably eating edible heroin.
That's my best guess.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah, well, I think what they can, you can shave it over the top of something like Parmesan.
Oh, or like a truffle.
Mm-hmm.
If you the question is, you have to decide, is if you're going to go, if you're going to cheap out and just get heroin oil.
Yeah.
Which there's barely any heroin even in that.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get the real heroin nugs shaved.
Sure. If you really want to go into that K-hole. Yeah.
Well, speaking of heroin fries, let's introduce our guest on the program. Mm-hmm. You know him, of course, as a celebrity entertainer out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Famous heroin advocate.
popular musician in the world of indie pop, electronica, contemporary classical music. A doyen of the world party scene. The great Dan Deacon. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, what a pleasure to have you on the show, Dan. It's a real honor that you're visiting us here in Los Angeles.
I have to say, I listen to the show, and I've always figured that you do the segment just you two in the beginning, and then like splice in when the third. I'm happy to know that like.
Oh no, the third person has to sit uncomfortably there.
I can't wait to go back and listen to just the beginning segments, imagining the guests sitting there silently.
Just think about all the different scratching, phone checking you could have been doing.
Sure.
I mean, I had an experience not that long ago. We just reran this on Bullseye where, you know, mostly I know about the uncomfortable, distracted things that people do from the introduction of Jordan Jesse Go. While Jordan and mm-hmm. I are talking, somebody just sits there at the microphone quietly and checks their phone or whatever. We just reran this interview I did with Russell Simmons, hip-hop entrepreneur Russell Simmons. He did that throughout the interview. While he was talking, while I was talking to him, there was no time when he wasn't doing something that was completely different from talking to me.
Probably get some pretty big text messages.
I know.
Like all that I'm going to get is like, dude, are you home? And I'll be like, no. And that'll be it.
Who's this dude who wants you to come home?
dude, come home, dude.
Dude, hey.
No, I just,
dude, this is E.T.
When you tour constantly, your friends just assume you're not home.
Right. Yeah.
I never get asked, what are you doing? Or, do you want to do this? It's just like, are you home? Are you in the United States?
Do you want to play a game?
These all sound maybe it's just the voice you're doing. These sound like the beginnings of a serial killer's cat and mouse thing.
It's a dead version of me from the future that texts me.
Or like propositions from a dark millionaire.
Sure, yeah.
I'll take any of these.
Dude,
I'd love to get these texts.
Are you home? Would you like to play a game?
What's your guys'
summer, dude? Are you home?
Whereas I feel like
the sinister sequel to Dude, Where's My Car?
I feel like Russell Simmons, like the only the text message he was getting as I was talking to him was just from like Naomi Campbell saying, "Do you want to see my boobs?"
You know what I mean? Dude, are you home?
That's the
it'll be better. It'll be
Russell
better than
Simmons
watching
has.
Me on House of Style in 1994. What's your guys' ideal proposition from a dark millionaire? Let's go around the room. I'll start.
Yeah.
My ideal proposition from a dark millionaire, I'll say dead. Okay. I have to.
Before you go,
sure.
What do you mean by ideal?
This is like, you know, so you get that text from a dark millionaire
mm-hmm.
and it'll be something leading like, you know, are you home? Do you want to play a game? Are you feeling adventurous?
And you, when you get
do
the
you
text,
like your life? It's just something mm-hmm. kind of open-ended.
It sets off your custom sound that just is associated with dark millionaires, mm-hmm. which is, you know, instead of going do-loop or whatever your phone does for ordinary text messages, it goes bum-bum-bum.
All right. Now,
so you know it's a dark millionaire. You reach into your pocket. You pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Something where I get a blowjob in his boathouse
uh-huh.
and I have to guess if it's his wife or not. That's mine. And then if I guess right, I don't know, I get his boat or something.
So here's my initial feeling.
Yeah.
I have to travel to a sort of central European country mm-hmm. I haven't ever been to.
Uh-huh.
And I have to fight my way through that country.
Okay.
It's something they do once a year. It's a sort of a most dangerous game situation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And all I have to protect me is a martial art that I've created.
Okay. I think I know where this is. Finish up.
Based on my gymnastic ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to fight my way through the Village of the Crazies. And eventually, if I win, then I get diplomatic immunity. I can prevent a nuclear war. And while I have never meddled in the Olympics, I am a world champion in gymnastics. And I combine gymnastic skills
with the karate kills. Sure. Yeah. Because this is Jesse, this is the plot of Gymkata.
Yeah. I mean, my ideal is to be in the movie Gymkata.
Seems like that reboot's ready, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a Roadhouse?
Yeah. I mean, who
Jim Cotta's next?
You know who I would have star in it? That girl that won all those medals 4 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I guess we're light on gymnastics celebrities these days.
Yeah, I mean.
So maybe Jim Cotta's not
the best
reboot.
What was her name? Dominique something?
I don't know.
Dominique Dawes? Is that her?
Sounds like it'd be a good star of this film, even if they're not a gymnast.
I say we just have Nadia.
It's a nice alliterative name, yeah. I think.
I'm getting a nod from outside the booth that Dominique Dawes is something.
Okay.
But I think I'm going with Nadia Comaneci. I've changed my mind.
That's who you want to star in the...
Yeah, from the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I think she's due for a comeback.
Yeah.
And I think like the Roadhouse reboot, gender swapping it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I think it gives it a little soupçon of zing.
Sure.
You know what?
What?
Now that you mention the extra zing we get from gender swapping it, why don't we just go with Kristen Wiig?
Oh, she's good in everything.
She is. She's good, in everything. Who's to say that she wouldn't be good at gymnastic skills and karate kills?
Yeah. But, I mean, I think she would really commit to it, the character.
She would.
Would you rather her just play you in the make the film about your dark millionaire proposition?
Here's my preference, Dan, and I'm glad you asked that. I would like her to play me in my day-to-day life because I think she would make better decisions than I do.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't do things just for the money. She'd do it for the passion. She's very talented, much more talented than I am. She's very good-looking. I don't think my wife would be disappointed.
And she would probably slip in some tasteful improv.
Personally, while this was going on, I'd probably go in one of those sensory deprivation tanks.
Have you done one of those before?
No, but I mean, I feel like the millionaire
they're
would
wonderful.
Probably pay for that.
Yeah. Have you sensory deprived yourself?
I have. A friend of mine, Twig.
Deprived yourself of sense?
I've deprived
your senses?
Myself, my senses.
I guess
they're really amazing.
What like, did you – is this – it's a tank of water.
Did you go to a center or somebody's house?
I guess it's both.
Okay. Yeah. This is getting good.
Sure.
So this guy's first name was Swami. What was his second name?
It's Twig
Swimming?
Harper.
Okay.
And him and his partner run a place called Tarantula Hill. And
this Baltimore. Sounds dangerous.
Well, I
this sounds like a really difficult Mario Kart course. You definitely don't want to be on Tarantula Hill.
I don't think they call the float part of the house Tarantula Hill, but that was like the name of like when it was like a noise house.
So far this sounds like something that's happening in Detroit that Vice TV would do a segment on.
Yeah, I could see it.
Okay.
So you go up to Tarantula Hill.
You go to Tarantula Hill.
There's an old man at the base of Tarantula Hill warning you not to go up there. Because you'll be doomed. So
he's warning you to get there. He's like, you were already supposed to be here. Hurry, hurry. Didn't you get the text from the doctor?
I was asking you if you were home.
Yeah. Yesterday I was 22 years old.
Okay, so you get there and then what?
You go in like a little small room. It's kind of like a hippie doctor's office kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a shower. And then you get inside this tank that's body temperature, like water, and you can't tell the difference between the water and your skin, and it's so salty that you can't sink in any capacity. And then once you start to figure out how to, like, let your head rest, that's when you begin to really just start to – your mind starts taking over itself, and it's
you start
tripping.
To float on wings of dreams.
The craziest part when I was first doing it is when
or anything else that happens in the theme song to Perfect Strangers.
Real sad fact about Perfect Strangers is that when you reference it on stage, when you're playing a show at a college, no one has any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Fucking millennials.
It's just
millennials. Fucking millennials.
Just
they don't know about
drifted
Balky
into the ether.
They don't know about Cousin Larry.
That's the kind of important thing that they need to learn about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's reboot that.
Yeah, let's make that a priority.
Yeah, hey, millennials, you're going crazy for Rugrats. You're going crazy for Rocco's Modern Life out there. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Stop illegally downloading Animaniacs and watch a little Perfect Strangers. Learn about Balky Bartokomos.
Life isn't only Hey Dude.
Yeah. There's life outside of Nickelodeon or SNICK.
Do you think it'll get to the point?
Which was Saturday Night Nick. Sorry. Do you want to talk about something
really
other than
like
SNICK?
The clarification.
Yeah.
Can I make a recommendation to you, Dan?
Sure.
Anytime you're tempted to say Perfect Strangers, just say Good Burger.
Mm.
Okay.
I think remember that show about the European cousin who comes to live with his New York friend?
Good Burger.
I think it'll work. I think all you really have to do is just say Good Burger.
I would love if the Perfect Strangers Wikipedia got vandalized on a regular basis to just
make it about Good Burger. So when you tripped in the tank, do you feel like you got anything as a creative person out of it? Like, did you bring anything to your music or what have you?
It was very anxiety relieving.
Oh, huh.
It was during a period of my life when I was realizing that I had anxiety constantly, and it was just like my only go-to state. Like, I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, emails, oh, everything I now hate. focusing on email.
Sure. You used to like email, and then you got to
report. I used to love email.
I have that same problem, but I'm a millennial, so it's like, oh, Snapchat. Everything I like, I now hate.
Mm.
And then I just was floating in the tank, and I can't remember any specifics about it other than I had no idea how long I was in there. I know I was in there like 45 minutes, but time stopped being a thing. It was very much like a regular psychedelic experience, but I just knew that like when I was done, I could like talk to another human being without being like afraid that they're going to call the cops.
Did you have any visions like for yourself, not literal or otherwise, for yourself in your life?
I honestly can't remember. I've done it a couple of times. I'm trying to remember the first float.
Is it called a float?
It's called a float, yeah. And
have you ever gotten a flight of floats?
I did buy the group package.
Yeah.
I think I got the flight of floats.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to TGI Fridays and you order a margarita for a couple bucks more, they'll throw in a float of Grand Marnier.
Mm.
And that's quite an experience, too.
It would be awesome if you paid a couple of more dollars and they put you in like a salty tank of water.
I would.
Until the apps come out.
Or a margarita tank.
I would like to see like a business that maybe a Busta Rhymes would start where you float in a tank of Grand Marnier.
I think that would be, I don't know what Busta Rhymes is up to these days.
That's what I was wondering. It's like, well, how diverse is Busta Rhymes' portfolio? Do you think he owns majority share in any companies?
Yeah, I think Busta Rhymes has a very diverse
he must, right?
portfolio.
How
so he
not?
Probably owns he owns a nice chunk of Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
And he also has a tank company.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's like, this could
the synergy here.
Busta, call us. Call us. We can help you out, dude.
Mr. Rhymes.
Yes. Please, Mr. Rhymes is my dad. Call me Busta.
Yeah, so did you accidentally drink any water or pee?
Nope. Didn't pee, didn't drink any.
Did you have to pee at all? I feel like if I got in one of those tanks, 10 minutes tops before I had to pee.
Mm.
I did make sure to get all the pee out before I got in the tank.
I would find new pee.
You got to get the pee out.
It's very dehydrating as well, so maybe you wouldn't.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Well, you're in a big salty pool of water.
Right. So, but isn't it, it's not like when you brine a turkey that it makes the flesh moister?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe yeah, I think the salt helps the water penetrate.
How delicious were you when you got out?
I tasted great. The Dark Millionaire ate me and it was a wonderful time.
Can I suggest an alternative to
yeah.
this? Again, the Grand Marnier might be a good one, but what if it's salt water, and like rosemary and a little lemon?
That sounds nice.
That does sound nice.
That
not
would
too
be nice.
Yeah, just as a nice light flavor.
I mean, you want to get good poultry and taste that. But if you add a little bit of an herb, it gives it a nice kind of almost a you almost smell it.
It's an effervescent. Yeah. Effervescent.
Speaking of effervescent,
please.
What if we put some Alka-Seltzer in there?
Oh, that's nice.
I've always wanted to go in a big tank of Alka. I'm dead serious.
That would be.
I think about it all the time.
That would be pretty dope.
Oh my god! Just sticking your hand in it, I feel so good.
That would be fun. Now, have you It seems like you've already kind of lived a dark millionaire fantasy by going up to Tarantula Hill and going and tripping in a tank. But do you have an alternate one? I know we both said ours.
The dark millionaire would text me and be like, do you want to blow some guy in my boathouse? And he's going to guess if it's –
he's going to guess if it's my wife or not. It will not be
my
wife.
I'll be home next week. I can't wait to do it again.
Man, that's going to be great. That's synergy.
A dark millionaire fantasy. I'd love a – I guess I'd rather it'd be kind of the situation where I show up and we're eating dinner and he's like, I'm sorry, I have to do this. And I get like blindfolded and I wake up and I'm like flying a helicopter and I have to figure out how to land it.
That's dope
as fuck. Because I don't even have a driver's license. So that would be like, it'd be very difficult for me to do this.
Huge curve.
By the way, can I interject something just to re-millennials, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure.
I've given myself full permission. I just want to put this out there just so listeners know to say things are dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Because it feels really good. I said it a couple weeks ago. It felt really good when I said it. And I feel like I've earned it. I deserve it.
Sure.
You know, I'm 34 years old. I'm a businessman. I'm a father. I'm a homeowner.
It's a good list.
And if I think
that
something
just
is
his Twitter bio.
If I think something,
and then social media ninja,
love crosswords.
Yeah,
I think if I think that something's dope as fuck, I deserve to say it.
Of course,
I like dope a lot. I've been using dope for a couple of years now, and it maybe started out as a little bit of a showy thing. I would say as kind of a joke.
Yeah,
but I think it's useful.
It feels really good.
It does feel really good, and I think that like some things. Like, some things are just dope, you know? Like, it's – I don't know. It's a heartier cool to me.
I started saying cool beans the same way as a joke, and then it was just like, cool beans. And then I started saying true beans when someone dropped some, like, real intense information. I'm like, whoa, true beans.
True beans, yeah.
Yeah, that feels
good. Back to the Future did predict 9/11.
You know, not
– True beans.
Not that long ago, we gave ourselves permission to enjoy the phrase "D's nuts."
Mm-hmm. Sure,
I think this can really fit right in that rubric. Like, it is. I think this is an earned privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect the generation that comes after millennials to have earned this privilege yet. Generation Next.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're really called.
Generation Snick.
Generation Snick. They're called the Doug Generation.
There is an Are You Afraid of the Dark movie, right?
I think there's a Goosebumps movie coming out this month.
For whom?
Hard to say. I think this is
just Obama. It's a one film. One night only at the White House.
I love the one where they go to the carnival and it turns out the carnival's in space.
Wish you could have seen it. Shame they destroyed the film the moment it was done.
I've got two daughters myself.
I think the Goosebumps movie is one of those things where it's like, well, I think it's for kids. And I think it's like, well, kids will see any shit. But if we can also get a handful of grown-up nerds in here, then we're doubling down.
Yeah, if we can just get something we can throw up on the big screen at Comic-Con.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Standing O in Hall H.
Yeah.
The Goosebumps trailer.
Yeah, Booster Gold the movie!
The list of rejected movie developments of like the Perfect Strangers movie, stuff like that, like the spinoff of like, well, where's Carl Winslow been since Family Matters?
Oh yeah, and maybe just kind of like a dark procedural because he was a cop. Maybe you put him into kind of like a Seven type world.
You know what I think?
That's the darkest it could possibly get.
Find out who killed Urkel.
that's actually season 2 of Serial. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh wow! Okay, I didn't.
That's about who killed Urkel. It turns out to be Mr. Winslow.
Oh wow!
I think that might actually be a Key and Peele sketch. Now that I think about it.
Oh,
I think I just ripped off. I'm sorry.
Who killed Urkel?
I gotta go. No, I think Urkel.
Anyway, let's just say some funny football player names. I bet you would be so hard pressed to find a thing from that millennial, hey, remember this pocket that doesn't have at least a movie treatment written about it.
I bet
there is nothing. I've got some buddies who are screenwriters who are writing the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah.
And they said that they got just after the Lego movie became a big deal, like the weekend, the Monday after the Lego movie opened, every person who was kind of a screenwriter got called and said, what can you do with blank? And that's that just got tons of people working. So anyway.
I'm actually
I have no insider info about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, by the way. Do not tweet me. I don't know if Amy Rose is going to be in it. I don't know how big a role Tails will play.
I'm working on a treatment for Boy Boang Cornick.
Mm. Beloved corn nut?
Well, it's a corn nut-like mm-hmm. Filipino snack food.
Yeah.
It's mostly for the Pinoy market.
But, mm.
I think if we can incorporate a little bit of, I don't know, Mr. T cereal.
Sure.
Something like that.
Well, are you trying to create a shared snack universe?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit, the cereal movies. Like Tony the Tiger. Like, where sure. the fuck is this?
A Boo Berry for Halloween.
What is Toucan? You're being Boo Berry for Halloween?
Oh, no, I'm saying for Halloween.
I was really excited for you.
Yeah, that would. you know what? I don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween, but maybe I do now. Maybe I'll be Boo Berry.
You worried that people are going to think you're Veruca Salt?
It's a concern.
Or the band Veruca Salt?
I think I'll just if anybody's out there in the LA area and they're going out for for Halloween, call me, because I think what will clear that up is if I have a Count Chocula with me and a Fruit Brute.
Uh-huh. You're definitely gonna need.
Because if I'm walking around by myself, yeah, they could probably just think I'm Veruca Salt.
Yeah.
But if I'm with the other monster cereals, they'll go, oh, this is a group costume.
I better not go out with you, Jordan, because I'm going to be Mike TV.
Oh, sure.
And that is definitely going to get people thinking that you're Veruca Salt.
Yeah, that would be a concern.
Yeah. No, we'll see how it all plays out, Jordan.
Probably bad.
When we come back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Hal, and we're the hosts of We Got This,
the show that offers definitive answers to dumb debates that you suggest.
Every Wednesday, we discuss the hot-button topics you never knew you cared so much about, like whether you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
What's the best Star Wars movie?
Whether it's better to be too hot or too cold.
Coke or Pepsi?
Best Marvel movie.
Which is the best religion?
I told you we're not doing that one.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org, and don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Dan Deacon, the last guy to say this.
Yeah. It's factually correct.
This is the last episode of the show. So, yeah, this is.
I mean, I know there's a long list of guests to get for the last episode. So, thanks for letting me.
Yeah, no problem.
Come in.
We just wanted it to be we thought about making it a cavalcade of stars.
Right.
But then we're like, Dan Deacon shines so bright that he'll eclipse Hugh Jackman. He'll eclipse Claire Danes.
Yeah.
I love that Hugh Jackman was the first, your go-to number one celebrity star.
Claire Danes was number two. I got involved.
I have two interests. People who have been in X-Men. Yes, Van Helsing and Homeland.
I got involved in, at some point, trying to explain to Danes in Copenhagen who Mandy Patinkin was.
Mm.
I'm
not clear on who Mandy Patinkin is.
Mandy Patinkin.
I was a post PA on the show that became Criminal Minds.
Uh-huh.
That he is the star of.
Yeah.
Still not clear on who he is.
He's a Broadway legend. He's Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride.
I know all this, and I still don't know who it is.
The star of Chicago Hope.
I know all this.
The star of Homeland.
Unclear.
I thought I knew who Mandy Patinkin was, and now you're.
Did you know
there's
the
so
real
many
signs?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It is like the funniest name.
Oh, God, it is.
Yeah.
Real
and he's one of the funniest guys because he sings like an angel.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful
like
voice.
He really does sing like an beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, not quite as gorgeous as my voice just now.
I can't wait to sample it since
but
this is
like,
over.
Close. Anyway, Dan, Abarianx is just queuing up the instrumental for Wind Beneath Our Wings. So whenever you want to sing that to us.
Sure.
Just let us
know. Just without hearing, just blind, right?
Yeah, well, he's gonna run that straight into the recording.
Oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. I think to follow up our Perfect Strangers segment, we're probably gonna then also talk about the show Wings.
Right.
So I think at the end of that would be a nice segue into Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah.
I think people would.
The reboot of the action movie version of Wings with Nick Cage is going to be amazing.
Yeah. It'll be Con Air-esque. Exactly. It'll focus as both a reboot of Wings, an action movie reboot of Wings, and Con Air.
I would like to take this opportunity, by the way, mm-hmm. to mention this to our audience. If you haven't heard, I am about to go on tour with Bullseye. Let's just say we haven't revealed our guests, someone here may be appearing on that tour in a place near his
Can you hear the winking he's actually doing?
I've never tried to injure my eye as much as I just did.
Dan's going to be on the Washington, D.C. show. That is the first guest we have announced. This will probably come out in 2 weeks, so cool. We may have announced the guests, all of the guests by then. But Dan Deacon, one of the many amazing guests. We're doing Boston, D.C., Manhattan, Brooklyn, L.A., and Philadelphia. And all the info's at bullseyetour.com. So, like, run, don't walk, get your tickets, because it's about to be a real explosion when we announce the guests.
Very excited.
It's super exciting to have you on the show, Dan. But that is not the only – that is by no means the only tour date that you have in your future.
No, it's actually going to be the last night of the first leg of a tour that I'm opening up for Miley Cyrus. So it's going to be real similar energy. So,
was this something that a dark millionaire invited you to?
Yeah, geez.
Funny you should ask. Yes, it was. I got a text. I was at the airport. It was a small airport. I can't remember which.
The airport from Wings. Yeah, sure. From Wings. Yeah. Lowell was there.
So talking to this guy, Lowell, Stephen Weber.
I just want to say, and obviously it's not Dauber, but I was like, what was the Dauber character in that?
Yeah.
Lowell was there and he was like, you got a text. So I took out my phone, cause I don't get notifications. I have vibrate off and Lowell has to tell me when I get a text.
Right. Sure.
Anyway, back to reality.
Back to the non-Wings reality.
Look, guys, back to life, back to reality.
Mm-hmm. Every 9 days or so, I get a weird text message from Wayne from the Flaming Lips.
Well, I think that's all of our experience.
it's like my favorite social media.
Dude, are you home?
Some of us 8 days, some of us 10 days.
Mm-hmm. And it's normally like an animated GIF of like an eyeball turning into like another eyeball or something.
And, I only get texts from Ariel Pink. Oh, I'm such a loser.
And this one had actual information.
I just get dick pics from Chuck Berry.
Never mind.
I mean, he's like 90 years old.
It's got to be
impressive.
It's got to be going down.
He knows how to use Snapchat.
Wait, is this a real thing?
That I get dick pics from Chuck Berry?
Or that this isn't referencing a real – I can't
– No. God, I hope not.
Yeah. Dude, who has the sex tape where they fart on everyone? Is that Chuck Berry?
Is that Chuck Berry?
I think – isn't this like a proto – here's what I think.
He had like cameras in his restaurant, right?
Here's what
I think.
I think
you're just thinking of the show The Grinder.
Yes. I think Chuck Berry had a proto internet like sex tape where he farted on everyone.
This is the kind of thing that I would ask Ibarian X, who's behind the board this week, to look up. Only I don't think he should have to look that up.
I'll look it up on my personal phone.
Okay, so you got a text from Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, Oklahoma City's famous, or mm-hmm. Tulsa, where does he live?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City's legendary.
Semi-recent Long John Silver's employee. Right? Didn't he work at Long John Silver's, like, into him being a famous guy?
I don't know. I hope so.
There's a lot of things here that need clarification.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I hope the site that answers your Chuck Berry farting also has like fun facts.
fun indie rock fact.
I just got this text being like, are you available in November or December? And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to
play the most dangerous game.
And I was like, I think so. What's up? And he was like, setting up a tour with Miley. Hold tight, or something like that. Something like
he just said Miley.
Yes.
Wow.
And then or Cyrus. I think he just said Cyrus actually. And I started immediately. I have a lot.
Did
of,
you clarify whether it was Miley or Billy Ray?
I didn't. I should have right off the bat.
Okay. So we have confirmation outside the studio in the form of a YouTube video called Chuck Berry Farts on Hooker.
I'm glad I was right about that. I was really afraid that
That was like just your imagination.
Yeah, it was something I came up with while I was in my deprivation tank.
So you got a text message from – I'm trying to just recap here for folks who just turned in. Dan Deacon, you were at the airport from Perfect Strangers, and you got a text message that said, do you know the chord changes for Achy Breaky Heart?
And I was like, did you know that Chuck Berry? Where is the – does anyone know the airport in Wings? Because I just realized the airport was Newport News, Virginia.
Oh, huh. I think Wings was in New England, right? It had a kind of a New England vibe.
Right. Yeah.
Newport News Airport, great airport, though.
Anyway, this is all information for Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Please at message Ted Cruz. Yeah.
Well, this has been going on for a while, but I didn't – I get a lot of – I've got a weird life, so I get a lot of things like, do you want to like – write a piece for the Empire State Building to be dressed up as like you? And then it'll obviously never happen. So I just assumed this was going to be something.
No, that attitude
was like,
is not. Come on, man.
I just figured this wasn't real. But then slowly it started turning from texts to actual emails between someone besides me and someone besides Wayne.
Yeah.
And then,
wow. So how long is this tour and where will you be going?
As it stands now at the time of taping, it's 6 performances.
Okay.
We're kind of like ghosting your tour.
Sure.
A lot of overlap there.
Yeah, it's sort of like – it's like a stock car race. You know, you got to catch my tailwind.
That's
what Miley Cyrus relies on for ticket sales.
Chicago, Detroit, New York, D.C., Boston, and Philadelphia. So supposedly there's other dates in the work, but I get information sort of like 2 weeks after it's leaked.
And this – will this be the – I mean, I'm trying to kind of imagine where a Miley Cyrus would perform. Will these be the most people you have performed for?
No. If it was like a real sort of – real is the wrong word. But if it was an appropriate tour, yeah. I mean, she could probably sell out like the Staples Center.
Yeah.
But these are all – in the biz, we call them undersells.
Oh.
So they're like at like 4,000 or 5,000 capacity venues rather than like stadiums or arenas.
I mean, these are the kind of places that you could headline.
No,
yourself.
Definitely not. No,
yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, I guess we should also mention something I didn't know until we were chatting outside. But Wayne Coyne is producing Miley Cyrus's album. That's why it came from him.
Yes.
Which is probably a weird detail.
She made a free album. Specifically, I think they made an album together and she gave it away for free. Right?
Yeah, on SoundCloud. I thought it was a tight move.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I support almost everything about
Miley Cyrus is full of tight moves.
Except for the couple of things that give me the creeps.
Yeah. There's not a – it's – but yeah, I think in general, Cyrus, net positive for the culture.
Yeah, I think so too.
So not the most people you've performed for.
I think the Arcade Fire Tour would have been
the
biggest like show audience. Festivals tend to be a little larger, but it's definitely going to be the most feverish audience I've ever. I'm really worried for like a Blues Brothers Roadhouse style moment
where they're just hurling bottles at the chain link fence in front of you.
Are any of these shows at Bob's Country Bunker?
Do you know the theme from Rawhide? Because they love that.
I legitimately want to learn it.
Are you?
Because they're all going to get the reference. Mm-hmm.
Are you the only opening act for this? Like, is it going to be like you and then the Flaming Lips and then Miley Cyrus with the Flaming Lips?
It's just me and then Miley Cyrus with her dead pets. Uh-huh. And her dead pets happen to also be the Flaming Lips.
Wow.
But it's two sets. Just me and then them.
Oh, my gosh.
From what I know, this could probably be, you know, I'll probably get an email like in 5 minutes. It's like, oh, no, you are Miley Cyrus and you have to go on.
I get to wear her same outfit.
Hit the gym.
What kind of set will you be doing? I mean, I guess obviously the, you know, whatever material she does with the Flaming Lips won't be totally dissimilar from your music.
No,
but
there'll be, if there was a Venn diagram, the center would not just be like a sliver. I think it'll be. But again, I have no idea what the audience is going to be. The show is sold out in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm not announced on any of them when they went on sale. So it's going to be interesting to see who's like, all right. I've always wanted to know what a middle-aged man would do opening up for Miley Cyrus. This is going to be – I heard he's got some sort of performance art thing going on.
I'm
14 years old.
Which I say to myself often. Yeah. I am 14.
Dan,
good night, journal.
I've seen you at Max Fun Con blow up a party of introverts with a DJ set that featured as its pièce de résistance, Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. Like, I saw
That's a jam. That is a fucking jam.
I saw you fucking needle drop that shit and the floor went off. Like, as though you had just bumped in the club in 2000 or whenever that song came out. Like,
just got to know how to read a room.
Just like, you are a capable party starter.
Thank you.
The question is, how does that translate to 18-year-old women?
I don't know. I'm certainly the wrong person to ask because I'm trying not to think about it. I'm going to wait till the moment we like are on stage the first night, and then I say like,
and you drop Under the Sea.
I drop Under the Sea. we should walk out to Under. We've been walking out to Steely Dan.
Definitely in the demo.
Yeah,
it's 100% in the demo. Unless you have any Doobie Brothers. I mean, you got the Doobs.
I think walking out to Under the Sea is a good idea.
Are you anticipating a higher level of swag and craft service?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even think about that.
Do you have a tour bus?
I'll probably be bringing my ridiculous school bus.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know you had a ridiculous school bus.
I do have a ridiculous school bus.
How is it ridiculous? I mean, other than
one
it being
thing,
a school,
no school
bus. Yeah, yeah, it's being a school bus that an adult man owns.
It's converted to run on waste oil, like veggie oil.
Oh, sure. Neat.
We probably wouldn't do that on this tour because it would be cold.
How is this different from just the green tortoise hippie travel bus?
It's not.
Okay.
Well, we've got like 9 bunks inside.
Just a white person with dreadlocks making you spaghetti every night.
Balding man.
Yeah.
We're all balding on the tour.
Yeah.
It's at that stage of our lives.
Yeah.
Just clinging on till we can get to the long, long flowing locks.
Yeah. Ideally, yeah.
Till you can get to fart on those hookers.
That'll be the day.
Living like a true king.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he also like owned a chain of restaurants and had like hidden cameras in the bathrooms.
Chuck Berry?
Yeah. Could be wrong about that.
Yeah. Chuck Berry doesn't seem like a classy dude. But yeah, he did invent rock and roll, to his credit.
I think he's still
the classiest of all of all roles.
Yeah. I think he
California roll.
All right, you're right.
That is the classiest role. I was going to make some Back to the Future joke about how his cousin Marvin Berry held up a phone. But
yeah, well, you know.
Probably.
I love how that line is delivered. It's like, how many takes do they be like, no one's going to get it. Can you just really emphasize it?
Marvin Berry. Like as if he has more than one cousin Marvin, but maybe one that's on his mom's side, so they don't have the same last name. Yeah, that is the most bonk. That's like such a crazy part in movie history is that thing.
Like someone was writing Forrest Gump, and they're like, no, take that out and put it in this movie.
Yeah.
What is on the school bus, Dan?
It's got a little kitchenette area.
Was it hot plates?
It's got a hot plate. Mainly we do almost everything in a rice cooker, like a big commercial.
Oh, okay.
Catering rice cooker because you can kind of make anything in there.
Sure.
Grill bacon and it's wonderful.
A stew.
A wonderful stew.
Bouillabaisse.
Anything you want, really.
Gumbo.
Mm-hmm. Those weird nuts you were talking about?
Sure.
Not that they're weird, those.
Boy Bawang cornates.
Boy Bawang.
Those cornates that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like the nice part about touring on a bus is that you can stand up or lay down.
Hmm.
Like, I hate touring in a van because you're just sitting for, like, 9 hours and you can't move at all. And I just, you know, after, like, years and years and years of touring like that, I was just like, I'm going to buy this awful, crazy bus. And I don't drive myself. Like, I've never had a driver's license. So the idea of owning, like, a completely impractical vehicle is all – any vehicle is a completely impractical vehicle for me.
Who drives the bus for you?
Good question. Started as my friend Jeff Nosach, who is the mechanic who converted it to run on diesel and fix it up. And then he became like a normal human being with a family and now lives in Maine and doesn't want to enter into the insanity that is something like a Miley Cyrus tour. But so my former on and off collaborator, former on and off is like the worst way to describe
right.
something.
Sure.
My friend Chester, who plays bass in the band, has produced America with me. He drives the bus. So I think he might be driving on this tour. I haven't actually emailed him about it yet. So, Chet, if you're listening, just
please drive the bus.
Shoot me a text.
Now, was this something you that like had your eye on? It's like a specific bus you saw on Craigslist, or was it, I want a bus. How do I get one?
I neither. It was actually just my friend Ray being like, hey, I know you – this was in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2008. I'm sorry. And up until that point, I'd been touring as
not accepted
as a solo act. And for that tour, I wanted to do everything live with no click track or anything sequenced. So I was like, oh, I have four drummers and four synth players and a big string section.
That's where the money is.
And yeah, it is, but then it leaves you immediately. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't planning on how we would do it. And then my friend Ray was like, hey, we found this bus up in Maine. It's $1,500. It only has 50,000 miles. It's in great condition. Do you want to buy it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. So I started pricing out how much it would cost to do it in a regular van, and it was just going to be like $25,000. And that was about $25,000 more than like, I wanted to spend on something that I didn't own. So I just started thinking about it, and it just made – I was like, I know I'm going to have to put money into this, and if I, you know, take a portion of every show and apply it to it, how much is it actually going to be? And if it actually runs on garbage, like that'll save us an insane amount of money. And it just kind of happened.
It kind of made sense. It made sense to buy a recycled hippie bus.
So do you drive from like burger place to burger place to Chinese restaurant in between shows just asking for waste oil?
We used to, yeah. But it was largely – the best places are Japanese and Thai places. They tend to have the cleanest oil. The filthier the oil, the worse. Like animal fat's no good. Like a burger place or a fry joint will use their oil again and again and again and again and again until it's just like sludge. Same with a lot of Chinese food restaurants. But it tends to be the nicer the restaurant, the nicer the oil.
And and how do you approach this? Like what's
– Normally we go in and ask like, hey – And a couple of years ago, it was much easier because you have to pay to get rid of it. So if you have less weight, you're paying less. So, and we try to stress them like, hey, we've been doing this. We're not going to make a mess. Because some people do like lock their stuff up because someone will have come once and then like spilled oil everywhere and create a nightmare. Lots of times we'll contact the venue and be like, do you have a partnership with any restaurant? Can you save us some oil? We'll pick it up. And we used to have this insane system where we'd collect it and then clean it if it was filthy by running it through jeans, like by tying up the leg holes in the jeans and just having these like sort of like scarecrow made of oil crows, I guess. No, just because I'm not replacing the word hay. Anyway, coffee's starting to work. And so we just like hang these pants everywhere and then collect it in buckets. And that seemed really impractical and it took a really long time. So Jeff built a system that filtered as we drove and – But now it's much, much harder. People buy the oil and they like try to resell it at a premium. It's kind of like how people have found out like, oh, organic. People like the word organic food. So like we're going to just make it like five times as much. So people will hear like biofuel and it'll be way more expensive even though they bought it for like 10 cents a gallon from some restaurant down the street.
Interesting. Does the car smell like delicious tempura?
In the back of it, yeah.
Cool. Neat.
I think it's cool too.
Do you have any video games on the the bus?
iPhone. We love playing the game iPhone 6.
Oh, yeah, heard about that game. I'd get a Genesis. Yeah.
That runs on vegetable oil, though.
Yeah, my concern is if
it would actually.
You got to be worried about, Genesis. Genesis does a lot of things that Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know. Yeah. So that's something that I would be aware of when you're picking a system.
Yeah, just think about what Genesis does
and what Nintendo don't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in your mind.
You guys said that so calmly. I was like, I could just take a nap to them saying this again.
Oh, yeah. This is now an ASMR podcast.
Yeah. We're going to be folding laundry later.
So we're just going to say slogans from the late 80s.
Yeah.
And then go.
I'm on an email list where a lot of people are into ASMR videos. And there was one recently about someone being upset about all of the posers. And like people making fake ASMR. And it was amazing because they were accurate. And it was like every scene has someone trying to jump on and just – especially nowadays where you can like have a YouTube channel and like just put up a popular search term and then make a buttload of money.
Who is the Creed of ASMR?
I can't remember. I'm not into it. They all creep me out. The moment I try listening to them, I'm like, okay, I got to take these off.
That is funny that there was some guy who was like, ah, fuck, my Let's Play Minecraft videos aren't taking off. My fat-shaming vlog isn't taking off. What can I do? Oh, I can I can pretend to brush someone's hair and make a click noise.
I could see Neil Hamburger getting into the ASMR game.
He's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, he has really so much texture to his set.
Yeah. I would say his whole act is so soothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I could pick one word to describe it, soothe. Soothe.
I was talking to someone who had had some success in the world of ASMR videos, and she had a very big video where she was sorting decorative rocks. Uh-huh. Like, you know, things you would get at the La Brea Tar Pits gift shop.
Right.
Like shiny rocks.
Sure.
And she has a lot of very, very beautiful tattoos. Uh-huh. And was talking about how some ASMR people were mad because she thought that she just made the video to show off tattoos.
Uh-huh.
And that it wasn't about the rock sorting.
Uh-huh.
that was bullshit. So, yes, I think it is a scene that has a lot of very, very intense opinions.
For me, I really like to watch ASMR videos where people quietly explain what they're doing in the Sega Genesis game Flashback.
Mm, sure.
Like how they're beating the various puzzles.
Mm-hmm. How they timed the jump just right.
It's kind of a platform puzzle game.
I'd like to watch one that's just describing like this is a 1994 VFW hall and the scandalous Ska All-Stars are about to start. I'm just going to describe all the suits that they're wearing. And seems to be an inflatable octopus pool toy that someone's riding. Let's just look at that.
Two trombones here.
Deeply soothing. So what is your biggest – what are you most excited about going on tour with Miley Cyrus?
Well, I guess I'm excited to – I've always wanted to tour with the Flaming Lips. Mm-hmm. I feel like of experiential kind of bands, they kind of hold court currently.
Sure.
And I'd seeing – when you see a show every night, it obviously like impacts your own. And
I've seen them a couple of times and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's always new and different and so fucking weird and crazy. They're the greatest.
I'm really excited just to spend time with that and just watching the production and see how they put it together. And also just to like watch and the best part about the Arcade Fire Tour were like watching people like know every single word and to be like on the verge of tears, if not crying, and being like, I can't remember the last time I liked anything this much.
Sure.
Like do I like anything in my life as much as this guy likes
this song?
There's
that one scandalous all-star show back in 1994 in that VFW hall.
Could we just not talk about that?
No, sorry. I know that's a big –
You wouldn't believe how much I cried at this Real Big Fish concert.
Sure.
I went to 6 months ago. Just tears streaming down my face. I was shaking.
Powerful show. I missed the Aquabats on Friday to fly out for Festival Supreme, and they were in Baltimore, and I was so excited. And I was emailing the promoter to see if I could DJ in between sets when I realized it was the day I was flying out, and I was as sad as that guy who liked those songs at the Arcade Fire show. But that's what blows my mind is when someone can love something so much that's not really attached to them in any capacity. And maybe I'm just like a narcissist, but I can't imagine like what I would like as much as I would.
But
you know what I mean?
Those people, the question is, how do the people who feel that way about Miley Cyrus feel about Miley Cyrus's collaboration with Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips? Because that is an open question, right?
There's a lot of contention. There's the hashtag Smilers Hate Wayne.
Uh-huh. I think we've all seen that.
Which yeah. I'm hoping to co-op.
Sure.
And switch it around. And I don't know if Wayne knows about it. And if he does, I'm sure he would, like, own it in every capacity. But I'm wondering what the Smilers will think of.
It's a Smiler being – this is like a self-identified Miley Cyrus
like
fan.
They go by Smilers.
Hmm. Do you know what the origin of that is?
I think the Juggalos were going to go by Smilers, but then they went to Juggalos
sure.
instead. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
the Smilers were like, yes, we're really going to Juggalos. Yeah.
There was a draft.
Sure.
I would love like a celebrity death match, but not more like Risk, like a Risk game where it's like, all right, I'll be the Smilers and you'll be the Juggalos. And it's like more like Risk Godstorm. Did you guys ever play Risk Godstorm?
No.
Great, great board game.
I did play the Future Risk with Max.
Future
Risk 2025
yes,
or something?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
2525?
It's pretty good.
There's a Future Risk?
There is a few, yeah, with yeah. Max.
Is there?
What's next?
Are there future versions of other... Like, is there like a
Monopoly with mechs?
Future Clue.
Yeah. It was
laser room with a laser.
It was Miss Peacock in the matter transporter room with the mech.
Yeah. Wait, is the mech a character or a weapon in this conception of Clue? I assume
the mech is a tool.
It is?
Yeah, it's like a robot suit you get in.
Oh, I thought they were sentient robot suits.
No, it's like a the power loader from Aliens.
Those are real now, right?
Tool. Mostly.
Yeah, my friend has one on his crazy school bus.
I think it's like what you see, you know, like a hip teen. It's like one of those Segways without the handlebars.
Cool.
That's a just mech. That's just like a consumer mech.
Have you seen the videos of like babies and toddlers like picking those up instantly?
No.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. I bet.
Fucking hate toddlers.
And how they learn to use something.
I feel like they're showing me up, you know? Yeah.
I think what I'm most excited about when it comes to toddlers is if I was like toddler me, I would hope that by the time I was like that toddler me was like 13, I would just like fucking hate all this shit. And then like that's the new punk. Like the new punk is going to have to.
The new punk is just not liking those Segways without handlebars?
Well, no, but it'll be creating something in retaliation to it. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Like a Segway with handlebars.
Segway with handlebars.
So like, oh, sorry you riding around on that one without handlebars.
But I don't want to think that punk is just hating the current technology. Like I don't think – like I hate when someone's like, I only like history's greatest hits. I don't like its new stuff. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Granted, history's new stuff, not so great. The greatest hits does really hold up well. Like, I love Chairs.
Chairs, the best.
I would hope to think that when I was around, when, like, my friend would come in and be like, I put this thing together. It's a chair. I wouldn't be like, whatever, the ground's great. Who cares?
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think history does have a lot of great hits. So you got the chair.
Number one.
Catapult.
Two.
Sega Genesis.
We have the same list.
But since then... What has there been?
That's a really good point. I mean, 3DO.
Yeah. But I don't...
Virtual Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Neo Geo.
Sure.
So there's a few things that
there's
have...
There's been a few things that have been...
Since Genesis.
That have been
there's
good.
There's a couple greatest hits since Genesis.
Yeah.
It's Virtual Boy.
Mm-hmm. What are those called, the Segways without handlebars? I just see them...
They have a really dumb name. Someone tweeted something about it, and I thought, what does that mean? That is... They're called like hot dog potatoes or something.
Are they made by Segway?
No.
I don't know anything about them.
I think they're
made
by Nick Cannon. That's my best.
They're called Wild N Outs.
Yeah.
Lil Wild N Outs. I will see those around, and I will. My instinct is to laugh at them, you know, because I'm a what do you call those guys who I'm a Luddite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Famous Luddite.
Yeah. History's greatest hits.
History's greatest. I'm a chair man.
Yeah.
I will see someone in my reaction.
You ride around airports in a chair.
Yeah. I just hold it with my two hands and keep it pressed against my butt. I will see people riding those, and my instinct is to roll my eyes, but a lot of times it will be like a really cool, good-looking 19-year-old, and I'll be like, fuck, man, he is owning that. Like, that is working for him. Anyway, and then I will feel bad.
Yeah, like a hot chick rollerblading in 1992.
Sure, yeah. You know, hot chick rollerblading now.
Really great in those rollerblading shorts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there is a specific kind of, like, fashionable 19-year-old that can just cruise around on one of those and own the world.
Yeah, and they don't even have to look. The whole time they're watching that fucking Odd Future TV show on their phone.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just understanding what there is to like.
It comes
about
with a
that.
Subscription to that.
Yeah.
That's a specific phone that just plays that.
Yeah, God bless them. God bless them.
How much do they weigh? The members of. No, the. those.
I mean,
hot dog
you got Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Collectively, like, how much is the whole.
Or are we counting all of the. Of the internet or. Yeah.
Because, like, you see someone at the airport, like, what are they doing with it once they get to the gate? Is that their carry-on?
Those rollies?
Yeah,
they put it in the bin and run it through. Because that's the only place I've ever seen one in real life is at the airport.
Oh, yeah? Interesting.
Yeah, well, I live in East Los Angeles.
Sure.
And you live in West Los Angeles. I think that's the cultural distinction
here.
But
I think North Hollywood's where I see those. Hollywood.
North Hollywood. Yeah, sure. I would have assumed on Fairfax Boulevard in the
waiting for
limited
sneakers.
Edition sneakers
sure.
neighborhood.
Yeah,
of
there's
Los
a lot
Angeles.
Of those there.
I did see some at the airport. and the by far much better than watching people ride them around at the airport is to watch people put them in the bin to run them through the X-ray machine at the airport. That is a truly magical thing to watch.
I can't wait to see it.
And the people that I was watching were sort of like the kind of guy who's wearing a trucker hat in 2015.
I think those are called bros.
Yeah, but like a – not quite a bro.
Like bro classic.
Someone who have worn a trucker hat back then or someone who is still wearing a trucker hat?
Someone who is wearing a trucker hat
currently
now and is maybe 31.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a hard kind of guy to pin down, but I know what you're talking about.
I know
about this
guy. This guy's called Blues Lawyer.
Oh, Blues Lawyer.
Kind of person who's like – goes into Guitar Center and is like, I want the best Gibson guitar because I heard that's what Tom Petty uses and I want the nice amp and I'm never going to learn. That kind of person.
And when you see him on a plane, he's Blues Traveler.
Yeah, right. And he's still he when he goes to the airport dressing casual, he dresses how he did when he was dressing cool, going to like the Spin Doctors or Smash Mouth concert 10 years ago.
Yeah. If he was going to a Spin Doctors concert 10 years ago.
I misspoke. I meant to say Smash Mouth. Spin Doctors movie is going to be real tight though.
Spin Doctors movie is going to be great.
The other day I saw Spin Doctors on Conan. When I say the other day, it might have been a year ago.
Sure.
But I was just like, hey, look at that. Spin Doctors still getting out there.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. That's how I felt. I was like, I'm glad they're, you know, you gave me a lot of pleasure when I was 11. And I wish you nothing but the best.
I got to say, like, you know, I remember, like, I guess maybe I'm just at that stage in my career. I'm like, I'd kill to be the fucking Spin Doctors.
Yeah. That would be great. I bet the like gigs they play are like really sweet and comfy and everyone loves them.
I'm sure it's full of, I doubt there's anyone in the room that's like, do you want to check out the Spin Doctors band?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's everyone.
What are you doing tonight?
Knows,
yeah,
like,
we can. There's a party downtown, but we could just swing by the Spin Doctors show and see how that, you know, see if that's. We'll see who's there. This is a little bit unrelated, but just in the realm of live music. And this just might be a fun life hack for everybody out there.
Oh, great. Jordan, I love life hacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this show's about, ASMR, life hacks,
right.
Minecraft Let's Plays,
Soylent.
Soylent.
Don't get me started on Soylent.
Sure.
Like hipster and sure.
I just came from Las Vegas, went to a wedding in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Matt Myra's wedding.
Congratulations to Matt Myra. And sure. Congratulations, by the way, also this weekend, our producer Brian's wedding, which was very beautiful.
Big wedding, big weekend for nuptials.
Congratulations to our friends Matt and Brian.
Was in Las Vegas, home of the celebrity DJ. So you see a lot of those banners for celebrity DJs. Who's at the Omnia? Who's at the Wynn? And there was a big one for Tiesto. You can just call that guy Tizio. And there ain't shit he can do about it. You could say, hey, you want to go see Tizio? And it's a lot more fun than saying Tiesto. And he can't do shit about it. He doesn't know you're calling him Tizio. Anyway,
yeah,
that's just a life hack. Tizio.
I was in Vegas recently, and I saw the celebrity DJ things, and I just kept thinking, like, these used to be magicians. These used to be all famous, like, Vegas's number one magician. And I'm really excited to know that DJs have finally overtaken magicians.
Yeah, because you still see magician billboards.
Mm-hmm, but not as many.
I stayed at the Luxor, so there was a Chris Angel statue hovering over my room in a Christ pose. So there are still magicians, but you're right. They have been pushed out big time, especially in the publicity department, by the Tizios of the world. Mm-hmm. What's next for Vegas, I guess? We went magician.
Next up is Dan Deacon, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
It's indie, pop, electronica, contemporary, classical.
I hope it's like celebrity chefs.
Oh, like you just get to watch Gordon Ramsay make
just
a –
scream at like some like well-qualified staff.
You know, I think I mentioned this, but I did a solo fance in Copenhagen, which is, of course, Jordan's great contribution to my life, which is where you go to a really fancy restaurant by yourself and you bring a book, paperback specifically. I went to a very fancy restaurant in Copenhagen where I don't really have any friends, you know, and I was really impressed by the amount of kitchen-related theater they had going on there. A different cook came out with every thing, and there was just a lot of them going, yes, chef.
Wow.
You know, one of those open kitchens where everybody yells, yes, chef.
Yeah, it seems like the culture of the celebrity chef, people are going to want that more and more. They want a guy with tattoo sleeves, you know, yelling and, you know, handling knives.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I don't see why we couldn't just get a bunch of guys in white coats to say, yes, Dan Deacon.
Yeah.
That sounds much better.
Can you just prepare a pork belly somehow in the middle of your set?
But if I can just scream enough people into making it, I think I can do it.
Oh, yeah. Shit. We were watching a video at work. There is a guy who is the chef slash DJ.
Whoa.
He's a dude who looks like, if he wasn't a DJ chef, he could probably be a blues lawyer.
Mm-hmm. I had a hunch.
I think like New Jersey is his beat.
Okay.
But he has a turntable, and one is a turntable with a record.
Oh, please stop. Please stop right there.
The other one is a hot surface that he uses like an omelet bar.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty amazing. And I know, like, just defeats the purpose of having a turntable if one of them.
What's he making, Mongolian barbecue?
Omelets a lot.
Oh, just
yeah,
omelets.
Yeah, he's making omelets. And
I mean,
there are videos
not
of him
at the top of the chef ladder.
Yeah,
usually the omelet station.
I don't think he doesn't seem to be trying to impress people with what he is making. It's that he is making while he's also playing, you know, Celebrate.
Well, he used to have.
He plays basically only wedding hits, by the way, too.
Oh,
I do like DJs like that.
Electric slide on one thing.
Yeah.
And a Denver omelet on the other?
Yeah.
I hope he's got the hot plate with, like, a contact mic on it so he can crossfade to just, like...
The sound of cheese melting.
We're giving Dan Deacon ideas for his big Miley Cyrus tour.
Yeah,
here.
Or my Vegas residency.
I hope we don't get you replaced by DJ Chef.
DJ Hot Plate.
My
DJ
recommendation plate. To you, Dan, is to focus on souffles because they're more impressive.
Okay. Thank you. This is the kind of life mm-hmm. advice I need.
Anybody can flip an omelet, but if you can flip a souffle...
How much do you think of... Billboard in Vegas costs?
Boy, that's a great question.
Because, like, couldn't you just make up some DJ, chef, magician
and all,
combo?
All DJs just look like men.
Yeah.
They just look like man 27B. There's nothing distinct about Tizio's look.
It's like a clip art of a DJ.
Yeah, right, yeah.
What I would like to see is, like, a Deadmau5 billboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that says all the information about how he's appearing at Zen at the Bellagio or whatever. And then the picture is George Wallace with that backwards Kangol hat. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, maybe when DJs are pushed out, they will need to team up with the, like, legacy comedians.
Oh, that would be great. Just go see what's that guy called?
Terry Fator.
Yeah,
I think he died.
Oh no, who's one of those celebrity DJs that you see in Las Vegas?
Say like Tizio.
Tizio. So you just go see Tizio with Rita Rudner?
Yeah. Fuck, man. I'm there.
Yeah, I'm pretty into that.
Just buy the billboard.
Yeah, and then it'll happen. They'll have to do the show.
Like, I just want to have somebody be like, DJ Five Camels, and then just like five camels with like shades. And then it's like, at the ice room.
You sound like pretty dope camels.
There's no ice room. There's no DJ Five Camels.
People are just wandering around looking for how to get to it.
Mm-hmm. And then you just get like some sort of Google Analytics to how many people are searching for this. Then you could go to the club and be like, change your name to the ice room, get five camels. Fortune ready to be made.
Jesus, this is a great life hack.
I'd like to see one of these guys, honestly, just, you know, everybody's waiting for the drop in mm-hmm. this kind of music. Fucking needle drops. Under Dussie. Under Dussie.
Shit goes crazy.
That's a magic trick, my friend.
That would be my entrance into the game.
Is that the Disney song that gets shit the nastiest? If you're looking for shit to get nasty.
Right.
Up in a club or something.
I mean, there's the Gypsy Kings version of You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story
sure,
2 or 3.
Sure, sure.
I think it, yeah, maybe Hakuna Matata. I could see Hakuna Matata getting things going.
Yeah.
But Under the Sea is just... It's the right vibe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like to play when, like, you know, when we played at Max Fun, there were a couple fights breaking out.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
People were sobbing. We put it Under the Sea, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone was, you know, all the sweat soaked back into their bodies.
Yeah.
It was like watching, like, a reverse water get thrown on somebody. It was a beautiful moment.
I was just walking.
There were no fights breaking out.
I just remember walking past the door of the room in which the party is held and hearing the needle drop. And seeing our colleague Lindsay Pavlis, the donor relations coordinator, co-host of Brian and Lindsay Will Totally Eat That, just look at me, fucking lock into my eyes and go, oh shit, under the sea, and just fucking hit the floor. Just like hit the floor like pa-pow.
And she, I know she's a married woman and I should talk about her
right,
like
right.
This.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
But she got pretty low, right?
Oh, she got low.
She dropped
low,
it. She
low,
dropped
low,
it like it was hot,
low,
right?
Low, low.
I like how you keep saying that you heard the needle drop as if I have like the Little Mermaid soundtrack on vinyl. Would love to be like.
Well, you don't have the Little Mermaid soundtrack on vinyl. That's ridiculous. You have a 12-inch of Under the Sea.
Sure.
You got the club mix, the extended mix.
God,
you're
I would
on that
love that
fucking 12-minute Prince shit. That, by the way, is on Prince's like album that he put out just after he got released from Warner Brothers. The Vault, Old Friends for Sale, is just fucking him and the Revolution doing a 12-minute version of Under the Sea.
I wonder how hard it would be to get the stems to Under the Sea.
Like, oh, gotta get those stems.
Gotta get those stems out there.
Yeah, then we could fucking loop up that drum line and just go apeshit.
Can we talk about things we wish would leak onto the internet?
Please.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do two. Since
okay.
I
yeah, you
stems.
Do two. And I'll think of mine and then we'll go around the room.
Number one, the stems from Under the Sea. Real spoiler alert there.
Number
two,
the video of Chuck Berry.
It seems like that's on there.
Two, the amazing CGI young Arnold Schwarzenegger from the new Terminator movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You could make an unlimited amount of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies if the body data of that leaked.
Sure.
If that was out there, you could make
another
any
Kindergarten Cop.
Exactly. You could do anything.
Fuck,
I mean, most
start
importantly, you could import him into NBA 2K16.
Mm, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Sure.
But that's what I think, other than like, you know, what Licky Leaks, which is I like to call him because I love him so much.
You like
yeah,
to lick
sure,
him.
Sure.
Yes. Schwarzenegger's scanned naked body.
That would be nice. That would be nice if they would just make that, you know,
just put it
open
out
source.
Sell it for $10,000. I'll buy it. Come on.
You got the money.
You got Miley Cyrus cash.
Who needs a house? Those shows actually aren't paying so well. But anyway.
I think it would be that last season of Hey Dude, where it was on Showtime,
mm-hmm.
and it was on late night Showtime.
Oh yeah,
shit got real nasty.
That was pretty nasty.
Like there was no penetration,
right?
But Brad and Melody fucked.
Yeah, you know they did.
Oh, who's that at the door? Mr. Ernst.
Oh shit!
Yeah, you know he joined in.
This one nasty dude
ranch.
I can't
remember. Hey dude, you nasty.
The Mets hat went on backwards.
Yeah, sure. All the same actors, too.
Mm-hmm.
All the same actors. They did not recast for the nasty After Dark version of Hey Dude.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, Max Fun listeners. I'm Dave Holmes. And if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
I am aroused, but I have zero idea.
Really?
Really? Yeah, sorry.
Name a British lady.
Name a British food lady. Julia Childs.
I'm afraid I can't accept that. No, it's not Julia. It's no.
British. Come on, you must know your British food ladies.
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Dan Deacon, the leak wanter knower.
The leak wanter knower?
That's me.
Oh, shit. I didn't say what my fantasy leak is.
You didn't do your fantasy leak.
Ah, jeez Louise. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, like, let's be real. My fantasy leak is Babe 3.
Oh, sure.
Because Babe 2 was supposed to be the second part of a trilogy until it was a total disaster area.
Sure.
Commercially, not artistically, of course.
It's got to be, like, very popular in the Netflix world. Why isn't Netflix making Babe 3?
Seems like something that that would happen. I mean,
like,
know.
At this point, they're making new episodes of Mr. Show,
yeah,
a Pee-wee Herman movie, and they just made a Wet Hot American Summer sequel. So, like, that's pretty much all that's left for me personally. It's for them to fund Babe 3.
And Babe 3 just stars, like, any pig.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter
like
what the pig is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this is the perfect time for Babe 3 because the director of Babe 2, George Miller, is hot off the success of that Mad Max movie.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, they're talking about him directing Justice League, but I think he should do a direct to Netflix Babe sequel. Yeah. I think that's a good move for him.
When something momentous happens to you,
this sounds like a fun Reddit discussion. Let's get on there. Talk about our fantasy leaks.
That does sound like a fun
discussion. Let's not hear about your sexual water sports.
MaximumFun.reddit.com.
It's a different kind of fantasy leak.
Yeah, my fantasy leak is a hot chick comes into my room and sticks a knitting needle into my waterbed, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy. Yum, yum.
I think Babe 3 was – I'd go with Babe 3.
Let's go with Babe 3.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to go with Babe 3. Yeah, that's pretty solid. Babe 3 – just find out what happens. Because mm-hmm. the first one was about Farmer Hoggett, but the second mm-hmm. one was more about Mrs. Hoggett.
Mm-hmm. Second one's a really surreal trip.
Yes,
it is. And also just,
great.
It looks so cool. Like, you could watch that movie without sound and be, like, maybe even happier.
Yeah, it is amazing. It is a real amazing thing. Okay. By the way, I just found out that – here's my real secret mm-hmm. leak. I just found out that basketball superstar James Harden speaks in a made-up language – that includes saying Sadate from Pootie Tang.
Mm.
So I'm pretty delighted about that. That's basically my fantasy leak right there. It just actually just happened in real life.
The key to that language?
Yeah, just – I would just love to talk to James Harden in the made-up language that includes stuff from Pootie Tang, my other favorite thing besides Babe Pig in the City. I mean
– yeah, that does sound good.
Fucking that would be dope as hell. What if I could get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in on the conversation? Then it would be perfect. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just fucking came out with a novel of Sherlock Holmes fan fiction. Like the greatest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That is good.
That's real? That's a real thing?
That's totally real.
Wow.
Man, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is so cool. He hates basketball. He just happened to be the greatest basketball player of all time. Doesn't care for it much.
He really cares about his extended Sherlock Holmes fan fiction.
Oh, yeah, man. Fucking not crazy about white people just because they've been treating him so poorly his entire life. Man, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is fantastic.
Sherlock Holmes in the public domain.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
Apparently there's a theatrical production of it starring David Arquette. Have you seen these billboards?
What?
Yeah, it's David Arquette as Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I bought that billboard, man.
Are you sure? Oh, is this a fucking Cool Camel situation? You're just trying to will it into existence with billboards and Google Analytics?
Is this one of those British Christmas pantomimes?
Something like that, yeah.
David Arquette.
I have no other information about it other than that it was on. Oh, I might have heard him on KPCC talking about it.
Really? No,
it might have been KNX 1070 News Radio. That's probably it. He was talking about it somewhere.
I mean, who would you, if David Arquette is playing Holmes, is he playing Holmes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can only hope that Joey Fatone is playing Watson.
Yeah, I mean, my...
other 90s irony celebrities.
My assumption was Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was my guess.
There's a fifth Tremors movie that just came out.
I'm sorry?
There's Tremors 5 just came out, and Jamie Kennedy replaced Kevin Bacon.
Whoa.
The second dude is still in Tremors. No, sorry. The survival guy who was married to Reba in the first Tremors movie is like the lone dude that's still in Tremors.
Uh-huh.
And it's him and Jamie Kennedy teamed up.
Is Reba in it?
No, Reba said goodbye to Tremors.
Are they back to being Tremors?
I think so, yeah. I don't think they're...
Because they weren't Tremors for like 2 through 4.
Huh. What were they?
They could like get out of the ground and like run.
I do remember. I have seen Tremors 2 where they're like these raptors.
Yeah.
But that's where my knowledge of the extended Tremors franchise ends.
Can I ask you? Maybe this is a better question for Dan since he seems to have a deeper knowledge. Which is the one with Kathy Lee and Hoda?
It's the Today Show.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know because I turned on the Today Show and it was just Matt Lauer.
And they were on a rock.
And that weatherman.
Right, yeah, because Kathy Lee and Hoda can sense the vibrations in the ground and that's when they pull you down with their tentacles.
What's the one that's sort of, it's like almost satirical?
Any of the Tremors films.
Yeah, any
oh,
of
wait,
the Tremors.
Hold on. Gremlins 2. I'm thinking of Gremlins 2.
You're thinking of Gremlins 2, yeah.
Got it. Okay, great. When something momentous happens to you... like you catch that Tremors movie with Kathy Lee and Hoda,
mm-hmm.
We ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN and share your momentous occasion with us. We've got some momentous occasions lined up. Ibarian X, roll the tape.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. This is Erin calling from Portland, Oregon. With a momentous occasion, my husband and I just got back from celebrating our anniversary, where we rented a cabin out in the woods in the middle of nowhere. There were a lot of deer around this cabin, lovely, lovely creatures. Two deer in particular I was calling about. They were on our back porch on the day we were leaving. Two stags, and one of those stags, as we were admiring how graceful it was, looked back at us and just started sucking his own dick. I didn't know deer could do that. I assure you they can. It was very gross, and we ended up watching for several moments as we did not know what else to do. That's all.
I think this was probably not a deer. This was probably Marilyn Manson. He had a rib removed.
Right.
I think that's the urban legend. So this might have been Marilyn Manson.
And he was just wearing a headdress of some kind?
Yeah, or just, you know, I think he has kind of naturally occurring horns.
And he is live.
Yeah, sure. Deer-like.
He's got hooves instead of hands. Mm-hmm.
So this probably
These are all well-known facts about Marilyn Manson.
Was the deer standing?
Yeah, I can't imagine the position that it was in.
Well, I don't think it was like standing on its hind legs.
I hope not. That'd be the most terrifying thing a deer could do.
Yeah, right?
Can you imagine how horrifying a deer just standing up would be?
Well, I mean, I would say probably more terrifying than that would be a deer sucking its own dick.
Mm-hmm. I'd be kind of inspired.
He's making it happen. Living the dream.
You finally get that sequel to your album America finished up.
Going to deer yoga.
I like to see deer yoga.
That would be fun.
That's something positive we can take out of this call.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would say that this call is just a nightmare that's been described to us.
Sure.
What's nightmare? I don't understand. Deer's just whatever. He's getting down.
Deers just want to have fun.
I don't like that the deer did it in public.
All the deer has is public.
Well, I mean, you could go into a thicket or a cave.
Maybe
there's lots of shit out there you could suck your dick in.
What, hold on. I want to know what the other deer was feeling like. Was the other deer like, Dave, not here?
Come on,
they're
man.
Still
come
in the
on,
cabin.
Come on, dude.
Can we please just go behind the waterfall?
Yeah, there's lots of places we could suck our own dicks that isn't in front of these nice tourists who are celebrating an anniversary.
I mean, it would be a cool celebration of your anniversary if you could suck your own dick and thus prove that your partner was superfluous.
Sure, yeah, or prove that you're part deer.
Yeah.
But for the love of God, go in a thicket.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to want to suck a dick.
I know you're saying thicket. I maintain the best place for the deer to go is behind the waterfall.
You can still see into the waterfall,
no,
though. They'll be like blurry.
Behind the waterfall.
Can you imagine? I'm sure the porch was lovely. But if I was like, oh, look at this waterfall. Let's go peer behind it. Oh, there it is. A deer.
If you part the curtains of the water with your hands.
Oh, sure.
And you behold the majesty of nature.
And the deer, it looks at me but doesn't stop. And it's just like, for real?
I'm back here.
No, you get the porch. I get behind the waterfall.
It's worse than when Mr. Ernst walked in on me. From that After Dark Hey Dude series.
Hey, dude. Come on.
Hey, dude.
Are you afraid of the After Dark Hey Dude series?
Yeah. Are you afraid? Yes.
Do you want to play the most dangerous game?
I like that in your world, Are You Afraid of the Dark and Hey Dude exist in the same universe.
Kind of a
Snickerverse.
It'd be great to recut Are You Afraid of the Dark, where it's just like considered for the approval of the Midnight Society, whatever the fuck they say.
Yeah.
And then like they throw that stupid shit in the fire and then it just cuts to a scene of Hey Dude.
You know, if that's not already on the internet, I'll give you $40. I swear. I mean, that of all the other shit that – I mean, if people are looping 2 hours of Chuck Berry farting,
yeah,
which apparently they are.
Yeah.
They've got to be recutting Hey Dude into Are You Afraid of the Dark. There's
no
way that's not happening.
Did you know that Netflix recently funded a new, you know, like a, as you said, like a Showtime, like a sensual thriller.
Sure, yeah.
Called The Further Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really they have hot. A fluid sexuality.
It's really hot.
Yeah.
And fluid genders.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, it's all over the place, and it is bubbling.
Sounds pretty sexy.
They get low.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take our next call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and Jess. This is Terry from Brooklyn calling in with a momentous occasion. was out to lunch and saw a little kid, maybe 4 or 5, sitting at a table with his mom's iPhone. He was just randomly tapping at things when suddenly I noticed he had pulled up his mom's Tinder account and was madly swiping left and right. He did this for maybe like 2 or 3 minutes before his mom noticed and snatched the phone away from him. I'm guessing she'll have some matches to look forward to in the future. Well, thanks. Love the show.
I mean, I think there's a strategy here for online daters, or if you're, right, or you know, if you're using Tinder out there and you want to match more, just assume that maybe there's some hot MILFs out there,
yep,
whose kids get a hold of Tinder.
Yep.
So just like hold up some toy trucks, mm-hmm, maybe have a picture of yourself where you're jingling keys. Mm-hmm. Just try and attract these kids who have accidentally opened Tinder on their mom's phones.
I don't mean to make us all rich, mm-hmm, but
yeah. This is about putting up a camel billboard in Vegas, because we've already discussed this.
Are you talking about DJ 5 Camels? Because I'm really excited about it.
I don't know
if
you guys don't have kids, so you don't have this situation where you turn on your Netflix, mm-hmm, on your Xbox or whatever, your Roku, and you get a choice of which user is this.
Sure.
Is this the parent, or do you want Netflix for kids?
I feel like I've been answering that question so much. Netflix should know I don't have kids at this point.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, so I am thinking maybe we could put one of those screens when you open up Tinder.
Oh, who's this for? Is this for mommy or is this for baby?
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. And then, yeah.
Let the venture capital pour in.
If you choose the parents one, it's all of the sexy and, mm-hmm, attractive pictures of other Tinder people that you might be interested in your, mm-hmm, area. If you choose the kids one, it's the jingling keys and stuff.
It sounds great to me.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Or just Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, mom, date him.
Oh, Buzz.
Yeah, he can suck his own dick like a deer.
I've not heard that about him.
Oh, yeah. Very flexible.
I've heard a lot of different things. I mean, my kids really like Toy Story. I had not heard that about Buzz Lightyear.
There's a Showtime Toy Story.
Is there a Showtime Toy Story?
It's nasty.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that episode of Real Sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that upsets me.
Let's sit this one out, guys.
Let's take our next call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and esteemed guest. I had my first day of work today at a new job, and as I was walking in, I actually kind of got lost, and they're doing some construction there, and I was on the phone with my new boss, and he was directing me where to go, and I tripped and fell off of a ledge and sprained my foot really bad, and they made me go home early on my very first day of work. Hopefully, I will be welcomed back on Thursday, which is my next day of work, but it was the most humiliating thing in the world. And also, it was in front of about 15 construction workers. Okay. I'm still humiliated, and I'm on crutches now. Bye.
Bye. Well, nice to talk to you, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think your biggest concern is not that you had this pratfall in front of these handsome construction workers. I think your biggest problem is that this could be a jump the shark moment for you. This could be like on The Office,
sure,
when Steve Carell's character drove the car into the lake because the GPS told him that was the direction to go. And you're like, I thought this was supposed to be a grounded show.
Sure.
Like, you'll do anything for a joke. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the biggest problem for this woman is that people are no longer going to buy into her universe.
Sure, yeah. She's just...
It's just too implausible.
Well, you know, it's...
You lose that grounding, there's nothing for the jokes to work against.
I mean, she's in season 8 of her life right now.
Right. So she's already
about
got
when
that
things,
syndication money.
Yeah, I know. So she should just wrap it up in a classy way, I think.
You know what I would recommend?
Hmm.
Give us a call and let us know when you get invited into the universe underground that's ruled by jockeys.
Right. When Data Ghoul starts writing your life.
Yeah.
Where do you think she works? Where there's ledges. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Maybe she's a gargoyle.
Environment.
She could be a gargoyle.
She could be a professional gargoyle. Do you think there's a lot of turnover in that gig?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's the gargoyle boss.
Well, if you don't get back by the time the sun comes up, you can't be a gargoyle anymore, right?
That's true. Yeah, you're just a monster.
The Gargoyles movie, that's got to be in development.
It's got to be, right?
She had a pleasant voice for a monster.
She did.
I'd like to see a movie based on mussels, millions of unusual mm-hmm. small creatures lurking oh, yeah. everywhere. Mm-hmm. Saw some of those at the flea market this weekend. Real hard not to buy them.
Yeah, those are incredible things.
There's just a couple of things that it's real hard for me. You know the way that – you know how a bunch of people on your Facebook timeline posted about the Star Wars toys they bought
sure.
the other day at Target? I have that problem with mussels mm-hmm. and like 1992 Fleer baseball cards. Mm. If I'm at the fucking flea market, mm-hmm. you can buy a whole box of 1992 Fleer baseball cards for like $5.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to open up those cello packs.
So you're talking sealed.
I'm talking about sealed boxes, whoa. Unopened boxes of wax or cello packs, depending on the brand.
If they had those of the Marvel cards,
oh, yeah, sure.
Would. I would be like,
could you see if you get some of those fucking holograms?
I know.
Get a hologram cable.
God, ooh, boy.
Gotta get that cable hologram.
Gotta get them grams.
Mm. I wonder who has the most cable holograms, like, and how many it is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, who's the guy? I bet they're listening.
Do you think it's Mark McGwire? I think it's Mark McGwire, like how Todd McFarlane has all the Mark McGwire home run balls.
Does he really?
McGwire. Yeah, yeah. Todd McFarlane spent his millions of buying.
Fuck Todd McFarlane, man.
Mark McGwire home run balls. Mark McGwire spent his millions buying cable.
That those are two good Wikipedia vandalizations to make Todd McFarlane's exclusively about how he owns. Mark McGwire, like,
don't mention any of his no, comic
get,
book
get
work.
Get Spawn, yeah. All the comic book work out of there, and then Mark McGwire just lie and be like,
sure.
Known for owning the most cable hologram cards.
Sammy Sosa spent all his money on DC cards.
Hmm. Bad investment.
And you know, you remember that year that Cecil Fielder hit over 50 home runs?
Sure.
He actually spent all his money on Pogs.
Mm. Mm.
So
yeah, you know just another goes. Another
he's
tragic.
A demon with those slammers.
To be fair, he's got dope slammers.
He's very nice slammers.
This dude has some.
Just another tale of a professional athlete, you know, wasting his money. It's a shame.
I know. It really is. It's a sad thing, and
that's what his 30 for 30 is about, right? His Pog addiction.
Yeah, it's really – he actually got into them when he was playing in Japan.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know. They started in Hawaii, sure. Pineapple, orange, guava juice. And then they went to Hawaii where they swept the Nippon Baseball League.
These are great Pog facts.
Cecil Fielder brought yeah. them back to the United States with him mm-hmm. when he went to play for the Detroit Tigers. You know, so that's a lot of fun facts about Pogs.
These are
he
all
one
things –
of those metal slammers though, so he yeah. wasn't sweating it.
These are all things that you should all run and put on Wikipedia right now, please.
Yeah, and if you have any objections to this, remember, just tweet them at Ted Cruz.
At Ted Cruz.
At Ted Cruz. If you have any objections or corrections to Jordan Jesse Go, please tweet them at Ted Cruz. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Dan Deacon, the guest.
Dan Deacon, I'm going to offer my unqualified endorsement both for your live performances and recorded works.
Thank you.
You mentioned earlier your album, America. I was mm-hmm. just listening to it this morning on my smart telephone device.
Thank you.
If you've never heard Dan's music, it is just something that is really remarkable, something that is really special and thrilling.
Thank you.
Mesmerizing, beautiful, and also really fun. Like all of those adjectives that I use to describe the quote-unquote genre of Dan's genre-busting music, like what is remarkable about his music is how he can make music that is both genuinely some next-level shit, like genuinely some intellectual, progressive, fucking crazy-ass shit that is also just as purely melodic and thrilling and also makes you want to shake your ass. It's a real achievement.
Thank you so much.
That is my endorsement of Dan Deacon, whose music I really love and who is a great guy. And also, the man knows how to fucking rock the shit out of a party. Jordan, you went to a Dan Deacon concert before, right?
Hell yeah, I did. It was a blast. Yes. I mean, it seems like these Miley shows are going to be a little tough to get into, but Hopefully Dan Deacon is performing in a town near you soon.
If you want free tickets to the Miley shows, just tweet at Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got them.
He's going to be picking them
out. He bought most of them up, I hear.
I think by the time those Smilers get to Dan's signature exhortation that everyone get on the floor and dance like a bunch of grown-up Bart Simpsons, I think they're going to be – I mean, that is a – number one, that's a reference that transcends generation.
Sure.
Number two, that is an irresistible call to arms. Somebody says that they want you on the floor dancing like a grown-up Bart Simpson.
You do it.
You just do what you have to do.
Yeah,
it's true.
Dan, what's the product? I mean, people, if all these fucking Miley Cyrus shows are already sold out, we already plugged the shit out of these. We already plugged the shit out of these sold out shows.
I guess I'm towards the. I put out a record in February called Glissriffer, and I've been slowly touring that for the year. I say slowly because I used the wrong word.
Nah.
But I think next year I'm going to do probably just a couple of select shows. And I'm not sure how much I'll tour, trying to do more of these like special engagement kind of things. But I'm sure I'll find some way to fuck that up and end up being on the road for like 75% of the year.
You'll just be at like the Castro Theater in San Francisco and Grumman's Chinese in Los Angeles and 70 millimeter.
I'll be outside of all those theaters selling.
Oh, are you the Hateful Eight?
That's me.
Is that why you're? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Gotta see it, in, gotta see it in 70 millimeter.
Yeah. Got it.
You gotta.
Got it. Well, Dan Deacon, we are so grateful to you for making time on your busy touring schedule.
My pleasure.
What a joy it was to get to talk to you.
I think this is the longest I've had a conversation where I didn't check my email, and I feel really good about it.
Yeah. You know, you
and guys, I had a wonderful time. I should have started with that. I had a wonderful time.
Just mainly about having a little break from email.
You got some of that classic fucking Russell Simmons mindfulness going on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. You do a lot of meditation?
No, I don't think I've ever meditated in my life, to be honest. I try. But I have a really hard time. Maybe I just don't know. You know, I remember when someone was like, the first time I heard the term engage your core, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I don't, what, my brain and stomach are separate. They're right. Two different things. I don't talk.
Right.
And then like the first time I did it, I was like, whoa. Do you know what I mean? So I wonder if I like meditate all the time and don't realize it, or if I just, you know what I mean?
Can I make a suggestion?
Please.
What if you just heated the vegetable oil up to 98.6 degrees and fucking tanked that shit, got up in there?
Would I float? We could make it salty, I guess.
Seems likely.
Hard to say.
I mean, when you get out, it's probably salty from the French fries.
When you get out, dive into a nice ranch dressing.
I do taste delicious.
Everything's good with ranch.
Yeah.
You know. Ibarri and X Perello on the boards this week. Lindsay Pavlis lending a hand with the production. Congratulations to the great Sonny D, Brian Fernandez, and his new wife, Lauren. It was a beautiful wedding, a beautiful – I shed a few tears.
Mm.
It was really a touching thing.
That's great.
Jordan, I hate when people write their own vows. It never comes out right. I mean, like, it's not like it's – I mean, all weddings are good.
Sure.
They had some
beautiful
really
vows.
Fucking deep,
beautiful
moving vows
yeah.
that really wowed me.
Hmm.
Had a great time at his wedding. So there you go. Congratulations, Brian. We hope you're enjoying your honeymoon. And what do you think? Probably Bora Bora, right?
I mean, either that or they're going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. One of the two. What are these? Are the two honeymoon destinations?
It's possible they're going over Bora Bora in a barrel.
Yeah. Something's happening with a barrel.
Brian has spent all his money. He wears that barrel instead of clothes.
Oh, yeah. Sure, he lost it all on the stock market.
With
yeah.
straps. But, you know, you never know. You never know with old Brian. Yeah. Ibarri and X Perello on the boards. Lindsay Pavlis lending a hand. JJ Go at MaximumFun.org. 206-984-4FUN. Hashtag JJ Go on Twitter. At Ted Cruz with your comments, complaints, and corrections. You can join the discussion on Reddit about what your fantasy leak is. At MaximumFun.reddit.com, where it is. I know there's a lot of people out there who are hesitant to get on Reddit because of the human monsters that populate substantial portions of it, wide swaths of it.
Are you talking about r/awe?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those bastards. Cats and possums.
But, you know, I hear a lot of feedback, like Reddit's full of, you know, Gamergate monsters. I won't go up on it. The MaxFun Reddit is full of the loveliest human beings. I mean, You just have one just eavesdrop on one conversation between Rach Tacular and Lip Thripper.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beautiful, it's like a, it's as though your entire body has been brined in salt water.
Yeah.
A little bit
sure.
of lemon and rosemary.
And you taste delicious.
It's just mwah, mwah.
That's what, when I think of Reddit, that's what I think about.
Yeah. Well, follow up with Dan Deacon by going and buying his records and going to his select dates next year.
And I am not at Dan Deacon on Twitter. That's another person.
Yes.
I'm at eBay Netflix.
At eBay Netflix.
Can't see how that would be confusing.
That's actually true.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.